Good morning to each one in our audience today. It's good to be with you. It's good to see each one of you with you. It's good to be, I hesitate to say this, but it's more comfortable being up here speaking to you this morning. I haven't preached this much in probably forever, and I've appreciated the opportunity that I've been able to stand before you and talk to you some things about God's Word and the responsibilities that we have as Christians. We have visitors in our audience this morning. I want you to know how happy we are by your presence. I'm not the regular preacher. I'm one of the members here. We do have a regular preacher coming in June. We're looking very much forward to that. But we are here this morning studying God's Word and worshiping our Father and the great God of heaven. It's good to see every one of y'all here this morning. It speaks volumes of your interest in spiritual things, of your desire to go to heaven, and you desire to live the life of a Christian here on this earth. And I appreciate that very much. Before we get started in the lesson this morning, I'd like to make just a quick ask for the congregation to remember Mike Grushon, who is my brother-in-law, Dan Byers, who's Imogene's son, and John Smith. These three individuals left Thursday for Sierra Leone, Africa, and they'll be spending 2 weeks there teaching and preaching and encouraging the brethren there. And I would ask that we remember them in our prayers, that we remember them, that they may have safety there, that they might have their health there, and that God may be glorified and that the brethren may be encouraged and strengthened there. So I appreciate you doing that this morning as we begin our study. As we've said now for several times, and this is not a different lesson this morning, we're talking about a series of lessons about our theme for this year, that is adding to what is lacking in our spiritual life. And we've spent the last three lessons, this is the fourth in a series of five lessons, talking about some things that we might be missing are lacking in our spiritual life that we need to add to that. And we talked about we need to make sure we have commitment in our lives. We talked about we need to make sure we have contentment in our lives. And then last month we talked about we need to make sure we have compassion in our lives. Now, I didn't have any idea as I was putting those lessons together. It didn't even occur to me until this lesson that the first three lessons were CCC. So I thought, well, you know, this is a lesson on prayer. So how am I going to get the C there? Well, we're talking about communication today. So this is going to be a lesson on communication. So there's your C. I'm not guaranteeing we'll do that for the fifth lesson. But we're talking about prayer this morning. And we're talking about prayer in the sense of our individual prayers, our private prayers, our prayers we do as a Christian on a daily basis, not necessarily praying that Steve just prayed as he led us prayers in our public service. But we want to focus our attention this morning on our prayer life as an individual Christian, to look at our lives, to decide, are we lacking in any sense at all in our prayer life? And if we figure out that we are lacking in our prayer life, how can we fix that? How can we straighten it up? And how can we make it better? How can we add that to our life as Christians? And that's exactly what we're trying to do this morning. So as we begin this morning, as I said, we want to remember, even though we're focusing our attention this morning on our personal prayer life, that we do have prayers as far as the public assembly, our worship to God, is concerned. We've already offered several prayers this morning. And I think when we look at 1 Timothy, the second chapter, verse 1, where Paul says, therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, that prayers, intercessions, the giving of thanks be made for all men. I think this chapter is, in the context of the chapter, is talking about our public worship service. So Paul is indicating there are different types of prayers that we should be offering in our public, in our service to God, in our worship to God. And this is something I want to do as we go along our sermon this morning. I want this sermon to really get us to focus in on prayer, both public prayer and more specifically our private prayers. But I want us to bring prayer to the forefront of our minds, where we're thinking about prayer. We're thinking about prayer from every angle. So what I'm planning on doing during our lesson this morning is I was originally going to ask our four elders to offer a prayer each of these types during the lesson, but I've substituted Richard for Randy since Randy's had a very stressful and busy week. So this morning I'll have these four individuals come up at different times during the lesson, offer these types of prayers, and as we worship God through prayer this morning, and as we talk about our prayer life as far as our lives are concerned. So we're going to start this morning with Randy Runner, and he's going to come forward and offer us a prayer about prayer. Randy.
Let's let us pray. Gracious Lord, Father, we're grateful for this day. We're grateful to come to you in this avenue of prayer. We're grateful that you watch over us and that you're with us. And we just pray, Lord, that you be with our congregation as we strive to do your will. Father, we pray for wisdom and understanding in our lives. We pray for understanding of your word. We pray that you would help us with that, to use it to help bring others to you. We pray for your help with our families. We ask that you would help us make good decisions as we bring up our children. Father, we pray that you help us with our jobs. Help us to give us the wisdom to make good decisions for our employers and the people that we work for. Help us to set a good example for the people that we work with. We pray for wisdom, Father, to discern good and evil. We pray that you would help us as we look at the activities of our lives, what we allow ourselves to watch and what we allow ourselves to listen to, and pray that we'd always remember and put you first. Father, we pray for this congregation as we spread your gospel. We ask your blessing upon that you'd help us with that. Father, we falter at times, and we ask for your help in our lives to, when we do, that we ask for forgiveness. With this time, we ask for forgiveness of our sins. Pray that you would lead us as you'd have us to go. Father, we pray for peace in our lives. We at times become anxious. We at times let the worldly cares get to us. And Father, we know that you have said that you will help us if we ask. And we just ask you, Lord, to just give us that peace that you can offer us. Father, we also ask that you just supply our daily needs as you know what we need. And Father, in all these things that we pray in your Son Jesus' name, and amen.
We all know what this says. I would say just about every one of us in this room has one either in our pocket. Didn't mean to turn it on. Either in our pocket or in our purse. It's our cell phone. It's a device for communication. It does many other things, but the main purpose of this particular device is to communicate with other people, and communicate with the internet. And we use this device every day of our lives. We're almost married to it, so to speak. We see it being used by I'll turn off here. There we go. We use it every day of our lives. If you would think about how many times you call someone on your cell phone, or how many times you text someone on your cell phone on a daily basis, what number do you think you'd come up with? You do it 2 or 3 times a day, 5 or 6 times a day, 10 times, 20 times a day? Well, you would probably be surprised if you go back and look at your recent contacts or look at your text log and see how many times a day you actually are using your cell phone to communicate with someone else. I looked at a survey that was done back in 2011. I communicated with the internet back in 2011, and they said the average American, and this would be taking all age groups in consideration, Well, I'll try to get rid. See, I'm not a very frequent cell phone user. There he goes. The average use that a person makes of their cell phone is 12 calls a day back in 2011. And text messages, 42 text messages a day. That's a total of over 50 messages or 50 times of communicating with someone else. Now, I understand that myself, I don't do probably that many. This group over here, as the younger group, they probably do more than that. But on average, that's what this survey tells us. Now, if we just divide that by half, thinking maybe it's just half of the time that I'm actually sending out the message, making the call, only half of the time that I'm sending the text, the other times I'm receiving them, then that still means that over 25 times a day, I'm communicating with someone else. That's a lot of times. That's a lot of times. Well, when we look then at prayer, we find out that prayer then is communication with God. As our cell phone we use to communicate with other people, we use prayer to communicate with God. So that got me thinking, well, if I make a comparison then with how much I use my cell phone in communicating with other people, and then how many times I communicate with God on a daily basis, who's going to come out on top? Who's going to be ahead of the game? Because certainly I think all of us would say, which is more important for us to be talking to our friends or our neighbors or our acquaintances or our people we need to call in this world or talking to God? Well, all of us, I think, would say certainly it is true that we need to be talking to God. So one of the things I want us to understand and to think about in this lesson this morning is to think about the number of times that you actually pray to God during the day, and does it even compare or come close to your communication with other people? Because it would seem to me, and I'm sure it seemed to you, that shouldn't we be talking to God as much, if not more, than we find the importance of talking to other people? The Bible is very plain that it is important that we talk to God, that prayer is important in our lives. Turn over to Matthew, the 7th chapter with me for a minute. Matthew, the 7th chapter. We can look at the life of Jesus and see that Jesus prayed all the time. He prayed in the morning, He prayed in the evening, He prayed at different times during the day. Jesus was a prayerful person. Jesus also taught that it was important for us to pray. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew, the 7th chapter, starting verse 7. Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. For what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those that ask him?" So Jesus talked about prayer and talked about the importance of prayer. And his disciples, his apostles, after Jesus ascended back up to heaven, talked about prayer also. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 12, Peter says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those that do evil." We can also see in James 5 and verse 16, and these are familiar verses that we all know, "Confess your trespasses one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man does a lot of good. It avails much," James says. And also in Romans 12 and verse 12, Paul tells the Romans, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continually steadfastly in prayer." And then in Philippians 4 and verse 6, Paul says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And then finally, one of favorite verses that we had as kids, because there's only three words in that verse, it's easy to memorize, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, "Pray without ceasing." So those are verses, and there's many other verses we could turn to in the New Testament that talk about the importance of God's people being praying people. But we see, I think, many times that we really don't pray like we should. When I look at my own personal life, and I look at my life, and if I compare my messages and texts on my phone to how many times I pray to God in the day, I'm probably going to be coming out on the negative end. Why is that? Why don't you pray more than what we ought to pray? Well, I think there's some hindrances to prayer that we need to understand, and we'll look at those hindrances in a minute, but I don't think that a hindrance we have is that we don't know, a hindrance isn't because we don't know what the purpose of prayer is. We all understand the purpose of prayer. Prayer is communicating with God, letting Him know what we need, giving Him thanks, giving Him praise, giving Him honor. The idea of communicating. We understand what prayer is. We understand the power of prayer. We know prayer is powerful. We have seen the effects of prayer in our own lives. We have seen the effects of prayer in the lives of others. We know prayer is powerful. None of us have the power to heal a sick person, but God has that power, and we have that power through prayer when we ask God. None of us have the power to forgive ourselves of our sins, but we have that power through prayer when we pray to God. So prayer, we understand prayer is powerful. And I think we also understand how to pray. That's not the problem. We know how to pray. We know, well, we're supposed to be praying to God the Father. We're supposed to be praying through His Son, our mediator. We know the things we're supposed to be praying for, the types of things. So those aren't the problems. So if we look at the Scriptures, we can find that there are some things that the Scriptures tell us hinder our prayers. So we're going to do that in just a minute. But before that, I'm asking Bob Arnold if you'll come forward and give us a prayer on Thanksgiving, please.
Let us pray. Our kind, our loving God, our Father in heaven, we're grateful unto You as we look about us and see that You've given us so many blessings in this life, those things which we enjoy. Pray, Father, we might be mindful of greater things You've prepared for us and be grateful for those things as we enjoy these things upon the earth, knowing that greater things are ours to enjoy for those who love Your name and look forward to Your appearing. And we sometimes, Father, are complacent as we look about us and don't realize we're blessed beyond measure here, knowing that You've loved us and provided all these things for us. We're grateful for these things. We're thankful, Father, that You did love us, that You prepared a place for us, that You've given Your Son to die for us. Father, we cannot express our gratitude in any greater way than be faithful and obedient to Thy word. Pray, Father, that You might keep us mindful. You've blessed us with a word that will guide our steps, that You not left us unaware of what You desire from us, that we have a guide, and this guide gives us wisdom and understanding, and our lives are so much richer because of Your word in our lives. We're thankful, Father, as we look about us and note our family, the spiritual family that we have, because we all have the same goal and have the same desire to please You. We're thankful, Father, for their compassion, for their concern. We're thankful, Father, for the encouragement we get from one another as we gather together and lift our voices to praise to You. Pray, Father, that You'll keep us mindful. We're blessed in so many ways, and to look unto You for all the things we need in this life and in the life to come, that we might receive all these promises, these blessings, because we love Your appearing and love those things which You prepared for us. Continue with us, Father, through all our days. Keep us with hearts of thanksgiving toward these many blessings. For this is our prayer in our Son's name. Amen.
Be turning with me to Isaiah, the 57th chapter, please. Isaiah 59. There are certain things that hinder our prayers. If our prayer life isn't what it needs to be, then that means there's something there that's stopping it from happening, something that's hindering that, something that's causing a problem with us communicating with God. That's the exact same way with cell phones. When we have cell phones, sometimes cell phones don't work exactly like they're supposed to work. We could have weather conditions that mess up our communication with our cell phone. We could have cell towers not being in the right place, and that maybe drops a call that we might have. We could have internet provider that isn't up and running during the day, and that causes a problem. So there are different things that causes problems even with our cell phones. It could even, in our cell phones, it could either even be user problems. I'll tell you a quick story about Mother and her communication efforts. Mother doesn't have a cell phone, so she's not one of the many that have a cell phone, but she does have a tablet. And last Sunday was my sister's birthday, and she wanted to send her a text. Not a text, but she wants to send her a comment on Facebook telling her happy birthday. And she called and she told me, Annie, I can't figure out how to send this message. Just type in the message, happy birthday. So I go over and take a look at her tablet. And what she had done was that whenever she got ready to send her comment and her little keyboard section popped up on her tablet, she likes hitting buttons. She just punched buttons, and she changed her keyboard to a foreign language. So she had no idea how to type in "Happy Birthday, Debbie" at all. So until I switched her keyboard back to the language, the English language that she understood. So there are user problems sometimes with cell phones. But when we communicate with God, and there's problems in the communication, user problems is always the case. There's never any other problems other than there's a user problem. So there's never a problem with God when we're trying to communicate with Him. When we're trying to pray to God, God is always there, God is always available, and God is always willing to answer our prayers. So if we're having a problem with prayer, if we're not praying as much as we should, then the problem has to lie with us. So that's one thing that we need to understand in our lives today. Well, what are some of the things that hinders our prayers? Well, over in Isaiah 59, look at verses 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. So obviously, sin in our lives can be a hindrance to our prayer life. It's been a hindrance to mankind from the very beginning. Back with Adam and Eve, it was sin that separated them from God. And the exact same thing today, sin separates us from God. If we're having problems praying to God, then maybe we need to do an examination of our lives to see if there's any sin that is in our lives. Because if there's sin in our lives, then that's obviously going to hinder how much we pray, and even how much God answers our prayers. So we need to examine our lives. Do we have sin in our lives? Correct that sin. Take care of that sin. Then I guarantee you that your prayer life towards God will improve. But not only sin, but sometimes we have wrong motives that can hinder our lives, hinder our prayer life. In James, the 4th chapter, in verse 3, James says, "You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures." Sometimes we don't ask for the right things. Sometimes we ask God for the things we want instead of the things we need. And there's a difference in that. We ask God about the desires that we have as opposed to the desires that God has. We have the wrong motives in our prayers. We ask for the wrong things sometimes. We say the wrong things sometimes. So another thing we need to examine our lives. Are we praying to God with the wrong motives? Are we asking or wanting things that we don't really need, that don't really matter as far as our spiritual life is concerned? Are we not concerned for other people like we ought to be concerned with? Then that could be certainly a hindrance in our prayer life. Well, thirdly, faulty personal relationships can hinder our prayer life. We all know the verse in 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them in understanding, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, being heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." Certainly, spouses that don't get along, their prayers are going to be hindered. They're not going to be able to pray like they should. But that's true in all of our personal relationships. Doesn't matter if it's our spouse, if it's our other members of our family, if it's our friends, if it's just acquaintances, if it's our brothers and sisters in Christ. If we don't have the proper relationship, then that means our prayer life is going to be hindered. We need to understand that. We can look at verses such as 1 John 4 and verse 20. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? We need to make sure our relationships are proper. And if we do that, then that will help our prayer life. That will make us a more effective prayer to God. And really will make us a more frequent prayer to God. Remember, we need to make sure that we're on terms with all of our brethren. God has forgiven us of all that we've done against him. We ought to be able to forgive our brothers too if we have any problems with our brothers. But I think really when we look at the reasons why, and when I look at this audience this morning, the reasons why we don't pray as much as we should, even those first three reasons are important reasons, I really think that the reason why I don't pray as much as I should, and probably the reason why each of you don't pray as much as you should, is because we just simply don't make it a priority in our lives. We understand what prayer is. We understand the importance of prayer. We understand the power of prayer. We know we need to pray. We know God answers our prayers. We know all those things, but we get so busy, so tied up in our life here on this earth that we just lose focus on actually going and doing the praying itself. We get up in the morning, we're already busy thinking about our daily activities. What are we going to do at work? What are we doing at our activities? We get to work and we're busy all day working. We get home and we think about, okay, what are we going to do with our leisure time? Or what are we going to do with the kids this afternoon? And when night comes, we're so exhausted, we fall asleep immediately. And then if we look back at our day, no prayers to God at all. Too busy. Didn't have time to pray. Got caught up so much in living life that we just didn't find time to pray. So we find that I think that is our main problem, is making sure that we put prayer life, our spiritual life, as a priority. Look at a couple of verses. Mark 4, verses 18 and 19. This is Mark recounting the parable of the sower. And he talks about the seed being sown on different soils. And when the seed is sown on the thorny ground, look what Jesus says. These are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things, enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. How many times do you allow these things, and how many times do I allow the things of the world to really choke out my prayer life and not pray as much as I need to pray? And also in 1 John, the second chapter, John says, do not love the world nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that are in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. So I think our main problem then is that's hindering our prayers is not making it a priority in our life. So we need to figure out what is causing us not to pray and fix that. Do we need to slow down in life? Do we need to find quiet time in our life? Do we need to set aside time, specific times to pray to God? Whatever is necessary in your own personal life as a Christian, try to find additional time to pray. And don't let just a busy life be a hindrance to your prayer life. Well, we don't want hindrance to our prayer life. It's time for another prayer where I've asked Richard to come forward. Richard, would you come forward and lead us a prayer on supplications, please?
Our Father in heaven, as we come before you at this time, making supplication for those members of our church who need you most especially, we recognize that all of us need you, and we recognize that so many people have needs. At this time, Father, we're mindful of a special group of our number who are completely unable to be out at any time for health reasons, for age. And we understand that as we draw strength from you, as we gather in your name, even this time, that we do have a certain ability to be strengthened by each other. And we understand how difficult it is for these members, Father, who cannot be out due to physical inability. And yet, Father, we ask that you especially be with them, that they might be strong. We pray, Father, that you will be with the Pences as they struggle with age and health at this time, and as they care for each other and attempt to live at home. We pray, Father, for Brother Bill Lindsay as he would be with us, except he's physically recovering. And we pray that you will be with him at this special time in his life. We pray for our sister Leah Deering, who is discouraged and would like to be here with us, who has been with us for so many years and yet is unable to be here. Ask that you be with our sister May Byers as Joyce cares for her, but as she herself is unable to be out, wanting to be with the Lord's people. We pray for Brother Emmett Shepherd as he's unable to live as he used to. We ask that you be with him. We are also mindful, Father, of our brother Lee Ashbrook as he was here for so many years and taught us and led us as a shepherd and is now confined to the nursing home. And we pray that you will be with him and give him a measure of strength and faith, Father. Be with our families as they take care of these members. But we pray, Father, that you will be with them and help them to remain strong, knowing how hard it is to do that and yet not be here with all of your people. We're mindful of our leaders, of our servants here of this congregation, and of the efforts that are made both publicly and privately to reach people and to serve this congregation. And we pray that you will be with all of those efforts, with the classes, with the upcoming VBS, with the preaching, with all the services and plans made. We pray that this congregation will be strong. And once again, Father, we ask you to be with those members, especially who cannot be here at all, and be with them and bring them back and help those caring for them. And may we be a source of strength also. We offer this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Thanks, Richard. Well, the question is, when's a good time to pray then? If we're supposed to pray to God, we're supposed to communicate to God, when's a good time to pray? Maybe we haven't figured out the best times to pray yet. So when are some good times? Well, there's a large list, but I'll just mention just a few this morning. We need to begin our day with prayer. Wouldn't it be a good idea to begin our day with prayer? Before we talk to our spouses, before we talk to our kids, before we get on our cell phone and talk to someone else, why don't we talk to God as we begin our day? We have things to tell him right off the bat. We need to thank him for the night's rest that he's blessed us with. We have things, we have activities that I know we already are thinking about in the morning. We need to ask God and talk to God about those activities that we're planning to engage in that day, to get his blessings, to get his understanding, to get his help in doing those things. So starting our day out with a prayer to God, talking to God, is excellent. Well, we ought to end our day with prayer to God also. We talk to people the most, the ones that we are closest to, the ones that know us the most. That's who we talk to the most. Well, with God, God knows us better than anyone else. God knows what we did during the day. God knows our problems and our frustrations and our successes and everything else that happened to us during the day. Doesn't it make sense then at night to talk to God about our day? What happened? What we could have done better? What he could do to help us with? What we might do for the next day? And certainly it is proper for us to ask God for forgiveness of any sins as we go to sleep at night, because he is the one that forgives us of our sins. So certainly at the end of the day to pray, we need to thank God for our food. We normally eat, I'm guessing, at least three times a day. Some of us eat probably more than that. We need to thank God for all the blessings of life that we have, especially when we partake of our food. Thank God for that blessing. So there are at least three opportunities every day that we should be praying to God. We should never say at the end of the day, you know, I haven't prayed to God at all today. at the very least, we should have prayed to him during our meals. So pray for our food. And not only that, we need to pray to God before important decisions. We find Jesus doing that. He prayed before he selected his 12 disciples. We make important decisions all the time in our lives. We make them almost on a daily basis. We need to pray about that. We need to communicate with God about that. We need to ask God for his help in making our important decisions. Also, in times of temptation, we need God's help. We need to communicate with God. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13 talks about that. God gives us a way of escape for every temptation that comes in our life. Every temptation, God gives us a way of escape. Sometimes we might have problems finding that door of escape. If we pray to God, if we communicate with God about those temptations, then God will help us find that way of escape, find that door. And the old Proverbs that says, when you're mad, count to 10 and you won't feel as mad. That's a true proverb. The same way with prayer. If you're facing temptation, if you pray to God, by the time you finish praying to God about that temptation, many times that temptation might have lost this effect on you. So praying before when we're tempted is a good time to pray also. And then finally, obviously, we need to pray when we sin. We have to pray to God. We have to communicate to God. God is the only one that can forgive us of our sins. We need to use that avenue of prayer. We need to use that avenue of communication. And when we sin, quickly, immediately, pray to God and ask for forgiveness of such. That's what Simon Peter was instructed to do in Acts 8 chapter. When he sinned against God, the apostles told him, you need to repent of what you've done and pray to God. And that's exactly what we need to do in our lives today. When we sin, we need to pray to God. Well, Luke, Jesus says, we also need to pray, or we need to pray all the time. It's always a good time to pray. These are just some of the times that would be good to pray. Some that we need to use on a very much a daily basis. But it's always good to pray. Every time's a good time to pray. Jesus talked about praying all the time. In Luke 18 chapter, he was going to talk to the people a parable about the woman and the judge. He says that men ought to pray and not lose heart. And then Paul in 1 Thessalonians talks about praying without ceasing. Not that we need to be monks. Not that we need to go to a monastery where we're praying 24 hours a day. But the idea here is that we need to make prayer a habit or a routine in our lives. That's the way we improve our prayer lives. It's making it a habit, making it routine. And the only way we can make something a habit if we do something over and over and over and over again. That's when it becomes a habit. That's when it becomes routine. So let's go to God in the word of prayer one final time. Kirby Kimball is going to offer us a prayer on intercessions.
Dear Father in heaven, we thank you once again for the gift of prayer. We thank you for the ability that you give us to pray for others. And at this time, we were earnestly going to plead to you on behalf of several individuals. Father, we pray for the recent visitors we have had. We thank you for the open doors that you've given us to approach these people with your truth. We pray for them that they may find the truths from your word that will give them the plan of salvation, and that through the obedience of your word they may live in heaven with you for eternity. May they receive our sincere efforts as your shining lights, and may we work to help them on their journey to eternal glory. We pray for George and Marion Amos as they have moved into the area and seek to worship with a group. We pray that we will be a shining light of influence for them. Pray for Ashley Blevin, who was here last week. May we encourage and be a positive influence on her as we study the Bible with her, and as she studies on her own, may she find your truths. Father, we pray for Brittany Buckner, her son Jacob, and her father Jim Lynch, who was here Wednesday night. We pray for Pat Kane, who is studying with Brother McCreary seeking your truth, who visited during our gospel meeting. We're thankful for Brenda Capel, who's been visiting with us regularly. We're thankful for Brenda and her wanting to seek your desires through your word. We pray for her husband, Tim, who's been able to be out because he struggles daily with health issues. Father, we know you can do anything, and we ask at this time to heal him or give him relief that is within your will. Father, we pray for Corey Coulter, who was invited here by Daniel. We're thankful for his visits and his expressing his interest in making himself right within your eyes. Pray for Gene Navarro. May we be an influence on him as he has popped in and out of worship here, searching for something. And we pray that's the truth spoken here, and that truth that is spoken here will fill his spiritual needs. We're thankful for Joyce Redis, who visited with us during our gospel meeting. We encourage her in her obedience to you, dear God. Father, we are thankful, and we pray for Rebecca and Morris Spellman, who have been visiting with us and worshiping with us. We're thankful for their desire to do your will. Help us to continue to help them. We're thankful to Bob and Shirley as they study with them. Father, we pray for those Christians who have forgotten their first love, who struggle with the world and dearly need our love. We pray for Sherry Pope, for her sons Josh Pope, Cody Pope, for Amanda Bard, for Joe and Scott Arbuckle, for Shannon Conboy, for Zach Caswell, for Kayla Wold, Charlie Akridge, Hank Mullins. Father, all these individuals have close ties here, and we pray that we as your servants will work to form ties with them that would bring them back to the fold. We pray that as they go through their daily walk, that someone or something will prick them and give them the desire to once again, Father, be obedient to you. Father, we're so thankful for the newest children of yours that have obeyed the gospel in recent months here. We're thankful for Jade and the great example she set for us, for Rebecca Wold, for Don McDaniels, for Tanya Starks, for Mike Armbrust. May we encourage them as they have encouraged us, and may we do what we can to turn them from babes in Christ to mature Christians. Father, we're thankful for Bill Lindsay. We're thankful for his repentance. We pray he'll grow in faith as the days go by, and that we will encourage him as he has encouraged us. Be with him also in his health struggles. Father, for the lost souls we come into contact with daily, we pray for them and for our influence on them. Father, give us courage to tell them the good news. Father, in this election period for our country, we pray for our leaders, for the candidates, for all Americans that will be going to the voting booths. We pray that people will vote in a manner that is thoughtful, and in the one that we vote for, we have when they vote, they have a heart to rule by your truths, these rulers that are going to take these positions. Father, we pray our leaders will rule morally, and that they would not be an enemy to the cause of Christ, but they will allow us to continue to serve you and worship you without fear or persecution. Father, we pray for your help and guidance on all these requests, and once again, your will be done, dear God. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
When we embark on a great big project, we're always told, our life is living faithfully to God. All the details of this life don't matter as much as the big picture, living a faithful life to God. Prayer helps us to focus on that big picture. So the lesson this morning was, I tried to make it as simple and as basic as I possibly could. I just want each one of us to think about two different things. One, look at your life. If your prayer life is being hindered, then figure out what's hindering it and fix that problem so your prayer life can be improved. And then secondly, I want us each to look at our lives as Christians and try to make prayer more of a habit or more of a routine in our lives, where we're doing it not just because... And God wants us to talk to Him. God is ready to answer all of our prayers. He is ready to help us through every difficulty of this life that we possibly have. So let's allow God to do that. The only way He can do that is for us going to Him, communicating with Him in prayers. I'm going to try doing something for the next couple of weeks, then maybe you might try this yourself to help my own personal prayer life. I'm going to, every time I receive a call on my cell phone, every time I make a call, every time I receive a text, every time I make a text in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to use that as what I'm going to call a prayer alert. I'm going to think, when was the last time I prayed to God? And then I'm going to stop and offer a prayer to God. So I hope that will improve my prayer life, make it more routine, make it more habit-forming, and I hope you can find ways that will help your prayer life, make it more routine for you, make it more habit-forming for yourselves. So that's the lesson this morning. And as we close the lesson, we always close the lesson with an invitation. And we've been talking about prayer this morning. And prayer is a very important tool for the life of a Christian. We've talked about that all this morning. We've said prayers this morning. But we need to understand, when it comes to the salvation of our souls, that we are not saved by prayer alone. It takes more than just prayer. It takes believing on Jesus as the Son of God. It takes confessing that fact. It takes repenting of our sins. It takes being baptized into the body of Christ. We can look at the example of Cornelius in the Acts of the 10th chapter. Cornelius was a praying man. He prayed all the time to God. But that didn't save Cornelius. God sent Peter to save Cornelius. And when Peter got there, Peter talked to him about Jesus. Talked to him about Jesus' life, His crucifixion, His death, His resurrection. He told Cornelius that to have salvation, you have to have belief on Jesus. And then Cornelius was baptized because of that. We hear sometimes about the sinner's prayer, where just pray to God and you'll be saved. Well, the Bible doesn't talk about that at all. The Bible talks about we're saved through obedience, confession, repentance, and baptism. So if you'd like to do that this morning, we ask you to come forward as we stand and sing.